Well, art or politics? It's not a choice that we in Australia really need to make. Our politicians seem to be doing a fine job of keeping all the drama of unrest and rebellion inside the corridors of Parliament House. But in many parts of the world, it's not so easy to devote your time and energy to the thing you love, be it writing or painting or dance. There's just too much demanded of you by the place that you live. For this week's Where I'm Calling From, we're travelling to Malaysia, a country which has been in the news here in the lead-up to its fiercely contested federal elections. And the big issue is whether UMNO, and that's the party that's been in power since 1959, ever since Malaysia gained independence from the British, whether UMNO will finally be ousted by a coalition of opponents, including Anwar Ibrahim. Edin Koo is a busy political journalist and campaigner in Kuala Lumpur. He's also a poet, literary translator and cultural impresario, and Edin's organisation, Pusaka, was just last month awarded a grant from the prestigious US Ambassadors Fund for Cultural Preservation. Thank you for making the time to speak with me on Weekend Arts, Edin.
Happy to be with you, Sarah.
So, Edin, let's start with the work that you do with Pusaka. Tell us about it and why it matters.
Well, Pusaka was formed almost 11 years ago as a result of, you know, a 10-year-long period of work before that that I was doing in the state of northeast Malaysian state of Kelantan with ritual theatre. With the advent of the Islamic party in that state, many of these traditions were proscribed for purportedly being un-Islamic. And essentially, when I travelled there as a journalist to kind of record the lives of these performers post-proscription, I found a very depressed community who were seeking very much to return to their traditions. I wrote about this and eventually began to, you know, gather resources to help rehabilitate or revitalize these traditions. And now it's been a, well, almost 20-year-long odyssey into the traditional and ritual theatre of Malaysia.
And so tell me a little bit about what that tradition's like. I mean, I've been lucky enough to go with you to see some of this Wayang Kulit, but many listeners won't have an idea about what that is. So give them an idea about this traditional theatre.
Traditional and ritual theatre in Malaysia is still very much related to community. These are very folk-driven forms that see art and see performance really as very necessary to the well-being of individuals and the community. It is highly ritualized in the sense that, you know, it is still performed for people who are ill. Ill mainly suffering from depressions or weaknesses of the spirit, as they say in Kelantan. And performances are occasioned basically to inspire them and boost their sense of well-being and their sense of belonging in community. So very, very imperative to the central life of smaller communities located all around in Malaysia. But being deeply challenged by identity politics in Malaysia at the moment, yeah.
And it's shadow puppetry. I mean, if people have seen shadow puppetry in Indonesia or other parts of Southeast Asia, that's one of the forms that's dominant that Pusaka work with.
Yes, the shadow play is actually my favourite tradition, and I seem to have a very strong affinity to it. The shadow play tradition in Malaysia is quite different from the Javanese, for example, which is highly classicized. We are still very much an oral tradition, very vibrant, still deeply located in ritual, and we perform a very kind of cosmopolitan take of the Ramayana, the Indian epic, the Ramayana, infused with lots of prejudices and lots of turns of incident that is very particular to the local community here.
And so what is it that the Islamic Party of Kelantan don't like about Wayang Kulit and traditional performance?
Well, with every Puritan ideology, they tend to lack an understanding of metaphors, of symbolism, of, you know, long histories of cultural evolution. They tend to look at things in very black and white ways. And of course, the main objection is that the epic that is performed and the characters that are performed are Hindu and Indian in origin, and as a result should not be performed by Muslims. Mm-hmm. Very simplistic.
And so, Edin, I mean, in the way you're talking, it kind of indicates that too, because my sense always is that you sort of have two homes in Malaysia. You've got this place out in the country in the sort of north of Malaysia in Kelantan, and then you're part of this sort of very urban, modern shopping mall world of Kuala Lumpur.
That's very true. I mean, I was born in Kuala Lumpur. I was bred and raised here. I went to study in the UK, but, you know, Kuala Lumpur has always been my base. And one of the great privileges, I think, of the past 20 years working as a journalist, and journalism in 20 years ago in Malaysia was a very different experience than it is now. You know, one of the great privileges, of course, was my ability to travel the country and really discover it. It has formed the cornerstone of my work and interest. I can't imagine living anywhere else but Kuala Lumpur, although I do have a love-loathe relationship with the city. You know, I think it's very important for Malaysians of my generation who have been incredibly westernized, those born in Kuala Lumpur, to go out to conduct a very rigorous search of the country, like if the country is to have any kind of meaning at all.
What do you love about KL, Edin?
I tend to loathe it more than I love it now. The traffic is unbearable, and there's an aesthetic assault on your being every time you go out because the buildings are horribly ugly, and it's not the Kuala Lumpur that I used to know back about 20 years ago. That's the price you pay for, you know, rapacious development, which has been very much what Malaysia has been about for the past 30 years. But I think, you know, loathing is also an attachment of some kind, of a very powerful kind. What I'm trying to do now, I think, you know, it's partly nostalgic, maybe even romantic, is really to try and present Kuala Lumpur as I knew it, you know, in writing and in the conversation.
What about culturally? I mean, is it a dynamic place, KL? Is there a lot happening artistically, whether with writing or theatre or music?
Kuala Lumpur was the centre, and right from the 1960s and 70s, when we started a literary movement and we started an artistic movement, Kuala Lumpur was the base for lots of artists and writers who were coming from elsewhere and bringing wonderful experiences with them in the process. I think now we have a new generation of artists. It is very culturally vibrant. There are lots of galleries and there's lots of theatre going on, the quality of which is sometimes questionable. But I think the younger generation of artists and writers and painters and so on are very much questioning all that they have inherited. They don't necessarily know where to look at the moment, but, you know, they've certainly urged by this need for rediscovery and to be able to re-embrace a new sense of what this place and this nation means to them.
And is this sort of division that I talked about earlier between art and politics, is that something that you feel real for you? I mean, just in terms of how you divide your time, how much you give to politics in Malaysia and how much you devote to all the artistic and cultural activities, all the writing that you're involved in?
I think it's indistinguishable. I think it's completely delusional to think that you can ignore politics. I'm very fond of the quote of one of my great gurus, the Mexican poet Octavio Paz, who once said, if you ignore politics, it's as if you were spitting at the sky, which is really spitting at yourself. So I think those concerns are indistinguishable in Malaysia. I must add that politicians everywhere in the world tend to appropriate all the drama for themselves, and Malaysia is no exception. I mean, we have the politics of pornography and politics of race and politics of, you know, contending ideologies very much in our face. But I think for most artists, politics is a very important aspect of their creative life.
This is Weekend Arts on RN. I'm Sarah Kanoski, and I'm speaking to the writer, poet, translator, director of Prisaka, Edin Koo, from his home in KL. So, Edin, tell us a little bit about your writing, because, well, translation is one of your focuses. It's whenever you read a book you love, whether it's sort of essays by Robert Desai or Melville's Moby Dick, you want to translate it immediately into Malay.
Yeah, the unquenchable ambition, I suppose, to want to do everything, which I've inherited from my father, I think. But yeah, because I think everything's imperative here. You know, there is so little that has been really created for our present existence. There is so much in our history and so much in our culture that has been ignored, that has been marginalized, that must lend voice to what we are saying today. I think part of my vocation, part of my dream really, is to serve as a kind of bridge between what has come in the past, you know, oral history, oral traditions, incantation, ritual, those kinds of things, and to find a channel and bring it into our, you know, our present existence. I think translation is very important. I write in the English language. I was raised in the English language, but with a very strong attachment to Malay, just, you know, with friends and with my nanny who brought me up, who was a Malay. I love the Malay language, but it's, you know, the transition from the oral tradition to the literate tradition in the Malay language was very sudden. So a great deal has not been invested in the Malay language. It's also been highly politicized over the past 30 years. So what I hope to do with translation, which is becoming a very important activity here in Malaysia, is to lend a sense of worldliness and interaction with languages and literatures of the world in Malay.
You mentioned your father there, Edin, and I think the sort of background that you bring and your family context to the work that you do is significant. You've got a brother who's a dancer, who's based in London but is performing in KL at the moment, but then you've got a father who was a key figure in the sort of foundation of modern Malaysia.
Yes, absolutely, whose work I'm editing, whose work over the past 50 years I'm compiling and putting together to commemorate his 76th year next year.
And do you sort of, I guess, that the influence of him in terms of your interest in politics is clear? Where do you think your passion for art and culture and writing comes from? Is that him as well, or does your mother's side of the family get a look in?
Well, I think, you know, it was the context in which I was brought up. Both my father and mother are very literary people. My grandmother on my mother's side was a very artistic person. She was a musician, she was a painter, and she brought up a brood of grandchildren. So I'm a writer, my brother's a dancer, I've got a cousin who's a very well-known painter. So I think that context very much influenced, you know, our decision to move into the arts. But also, you know, we were brought up in a very open and very liberal environment. And I think one of the things that was most appreciated was books, the love for books, you know, I have sustained and endured through all my life, sometimes quite madly. So it was definitely the context in which and the environment in which we were brought up. My father, yes, was one of the nation builders, original nation builders. I have huge quarrels with him because, of course, there are generational differences. But, you know, he was always very active in public life. And 50 years on, 50 years of him being a prominent historian in this country, he has paid very little attention to his actual legacy. You know, following his 75th birthday, I thought it was very important for us to compile all the work and to begin a republishing project. And now we have about 30 books that are going to be published within the course of the next year, bilingually in English and in Malay. And I think, you know, my father's writings have really established a foundation for Malaysian history, particularly in modern age, from which others can begin to do research and take a leap.
And Edin, tell us, if we were going to be coming to KL, is there a place that you'd recommend that we go to get good books or to maybe find some of the translations, some of the bilingual work that you're referencing?
Well, there's a wonderful Japanese bookstore, Japanese chain bookstore in the KLCC Towers. I would suggest that people went there. That's a good collection of everything Malaysian and from the world, really.
It is a wonderful bookstore. That was Edin Khoo, journalist, poet and literary translator. And Pusaka, the organisation for protecting and promoting traditional theatre, including shadow puppetry, that's run by Edin, is linked to at the Weekend Arts site at Radio National Online. And if you're ever travelling to Malaysia, I really recommend trying to get to see it on location up in the northern state of Kelantan. It's an amazing experience.